Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Creative Exchange. Today, I have my friend Swoop, and I met you at Buffer Festival.
Yes.
Was that last week? Was that 2 weeks ago?
When was that? 2 weeks ago. It feels like it was last week. Yeah.
And you won an award.
I did.
So I'm in the presence of an award winner. It's an honor.
I'm waiting for you to bow
down. Yes, bow.
Please don't. Please don't. Oh, my gosh.
So what was it like excellence in cinematography?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, guys, I don't even know what to call you, but we got a person who doesn't play. Okay. And we're going to talk about YouTube. We're going to talk about life. Cause you've been in this YouTube game for 7, 8 years.
Yeah. Somewhere around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Is it, or is it,
honestly,
is it self-torture, right? It's one of the two.
Exactly. And you live in LA.
Yeah.
And so Tell the audience a little bit about your channel. Obviously, we'll get into some things that happened as of recently, the past 2 years.
Right.
But what's the type of stuff you're making right now?
The type of stuff I'm making right now.
Yes.
That's how we preface
yes.
it. Is cinematic vlogs, cool. I would say, and there's always a comedic element to it. Some of it is kind of scripted for the more comedy side of it, and the rest of it is just dope. Cool.
That's why I vibe with it.
Yeah.
I love the cinematics, but it's YouTube. Yeah. So you gotta put some personality into it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then what was Spanky Valentine TV?
Oh,
bring me back to that
honey.
Content.
Well,
so that was your first channel, right?
Yeah, that was my first channel.
All began.
That's the second iteation of where it all began.
Oh. Was there a channel before that?
There was a channel before that. Well, they were supposed to kind of be simultaneous, but then I realized, yeah, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I first started off, I'm a musician, so I started off just making like trailers and teasers for music videos or for show performances. And then I started getting work in the fashion and like lifestyle modeling industries, just like off platform.
Yeah.
And I started having a lot of companies approach me who wanted to do content like in the fashion space or wanted to like give me clothing and things to wear. And so I started cutting just some kind of commercial type stuff for fashion brands.
Yeah.
And I was also working for a independent film director at the time, cutting short films and that kind of thing. So the world kind of merged together into this channel. I think I was doing sponsored content before that was even
SponCon.
Yeah.
So you probably weren't like disclosing that. In the beginning.
Well, I didn't even know that was...
Because no one knew what SponCon was.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I'm getting product and I'm sometimes getting paid and I'm making, videos.
That's interesting. So what was it like back in the day with sponsored content? I mean, did people, were they like, hey, you got to let people know that
literally wasn't a thing. Like, I just thought... I'm making a video and then
were
I'm
there contracts
stuff.
Involved and
there,
stuff?
There would sometimes be and sometimes not be. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was just very casual. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, there would be a contract for it. It's just, I think it was just happening before it was really a thing that people were then focused on making happen.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
That's interesting. Yeah. And so I love that you have a background in music.
Yes.
What, like, do you sing? Do you play an instrument?
Yeah. I sing. I play bass and some drums. And that's always been that music and film has always been my two number one passions. And so, I would, do some touring as a recording artist.
Nice. I never got to that level.
Oh.
What was your touring experience?
Well, the last like big tour that I did was overseas across Asia. It was 75 shows and it was the most brutal, amazing, but brutal experience of my life, girl.
So what does that mean as a recording artist and you're touring?
Yes.
Are you... Like, are you in the recording studio, but you're also on stage as like a backup singer or something? Or like, what does that look like?
It was a headlining tour.
Yeah.
So we were doing, it's called like tour support for an EP that we hadn't even finished the EP. So we had like some singles that were like sort of out, but we just went on tour. And it's an intense experience, the hardest work I've ever done.
Wow. So is that the moment that you kind of were like, okay, I need to reevaluate this. Let's look at maybe more at the video side of things. Because I feel like music is probably one of the hardest creative fields to make a job
out of. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that industry, that climate is just constantly changing and not necessarily for the better for artists. Not necessarily. That was my political way of saying that it's crap out there.
Right.
For a lot of artists, at least. But it, like for this tour, I was able to blend the film side as well as, the music. I was, you know, obviously vlogging and documenting the whole tour. But I had created this whole video installation that's like an interactive that would be a part of the show. Ooh. So there was a lot of film work that went like in pre-production before the tour.
That's cool. So, I mean, hopefully they were paying you for your video work everything was getting covered. Yeah.
Otherwise,
oh my gosh, that sounds like so much work.
Oh, it was, it was a lot of work for sure.
So do you still do stuff like that? Maybe not intense touring, but are you still in the studio and things like that?
Yeah, still performing. Again, like the film, it's just kind of like a... When one is really taking over, you have to give all your time to that. And then, you know, you have ebbs and flows of everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we just performed here Saturday. I think that was Saturday.
Okay, so you need to explain, who is we?
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, I say we because Dirt over here in the corner. He played drums and he produced the music.
Cool.
So we performed at Javits Center on Saturday.
So is it a band? Is it a group? Yeah, so, is it... I'm like, because honestly... You know, I've checked out your YouTube's channel and I've seen everything.
Yeah.
But the music thing seems to still be kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
Because is that something that you just don't talk about as much, or maybe it doesn't naturally come up?
I've had some performance clips slipped into some of the new content with the new channel, but I've just been so focused on launching the new channel and rooting it in, you know, the cinema side of it, that the music is... We're folding it in, you know, it's a process.
Yes.
It's all a process. But the show is like the full show would have, you know, large video backdrop with, you know, it's usually like myself cloned on screen.
Mm-hmm. So this is like...
She's a singer. Just explain.
Oh, sorry. I'm a singer.
So you're the singer.
Yes.
Like, you drum.
Yes.
But it's like her show.
Her thing.
Beyonce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you're being too shy here.
That's what I do.
Are you a backup singer? Are you
that's
the star?
What I do.
So you're the star.
Okay. No.
That you should have just been like, it's me.
Okay.
It's me.
I'm taking notes and lessons right here. Sarah Dici 101.
No,
it's
amazing,
okay to talk
though.
About yourself.
Yes.
I feel so awkward doing
especially
that.
Especially when you're a YouTuber.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like I feel like everyone has to have a little bit not narcissism, but what's a nicer word for or self-confidence.
There
right?
it is.
You have to have that's a better word. Exactly. So having the self-confidence to be able to sell yourself and just like let people know.
Yes.
So that's amazing.
Okay. Thanks.
So the end of your Buffer Festival video, was that your song?
That was not my song.
Okay. Well, it was cool. It was a cool way to end the video.
No, that was a song that like got me through
cool.
like all of that
Heck
stuff.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just performed at Javits Center. That's that's a big deal. What was that show?
So like, there was this big event. It's this big beauty event called Gen Beauty that I'm the host of. So it happens in LA, New York, San Francisco, and Toronto, at least last year. So it was at the Javits Center. It's a 2-day thing. So I performed for the opening of the show, of the event, and then hosted the rest of it.
Mm. So, ladies and gents, she's a big deal.
Pay
attention. You're going places.
You heard it here. I'm going to let you say it because I'm like, ooh.
No, that's exciting. So, naturally, I mean, I feel like people ask me this a lot and I don't have a good answer. But my first reaction is, how do you do it all? How is there something that, music is what I love the most. And this film thing, you know, the fancy vlogs is maybe something that... is something you enjoy, but maybe it's because when I was doing music, so I played electric guitar for 10 years.
Like, amazing.
I thought I was going to be in a band. I thought I was going to tour. You know, I moved to Nashville, check out the music
scene. Yes, I lived in Nashville too.
Oh, amazing. Yes. How long were you in Nashville for?
For like 3-4 years.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. I only lasted like 9 months.
Oh.
But great town though.
Yes.
Great town. Yeah. And so I thought that like music was going to be my thing.
Yeah.
But then I just, it was weird. I fell out of love with it. Mm. I was more concerned about getting new guitar gear than I was actually practicing.
Gotcha.
I kind of peaked where I was technically. So is there one thing that, cause I would say for me, it's video, you know, I love, I want to build more businesses. I want to do X, Y, Z, but at the heart of it, I love the finished product of video.
Right. Yeah.
What is that for you?
I would say I'm like 90% at this point. It's about the video and creating the film and the work, because that was something that I was always doing when I was recording music. I would literally be writing songs, like visualizing what the music video looked like.
Cool.
So that, and then I couldn't wait to like film the music videos. Yeah. But for me, I think at the end of the day, it's all about the performance. And so like being on stage is like my, there's nothing like it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's the one thing.
But it's a completely different process, obviously, mm-hmm. than making a film, which is a much longer than, you know, just mm-hmm. a shorter performance. So they all have a very strong place. But I think at the mm-hmm. end of the day, the visual and creating visuals, mm-hmm. what's most important.
Yeah. For me. I think people get too busy being in boxes. That's what I love.
Yeah.
So many people who I talk to, so many creators nowadays are just like hyphenated creators. They're like, you know, filmmaker, musician, like so many things. And I think those people are the most creative and I don't want to say coolest. I mean, cool.
But I mean,
you're pretty cool. But I just think, so I get inspired, honestly, a lot from other fields, like inspire my videos.
Yes.
And so I think when you have other pools of creativity to pull from, then it's like game over.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's also kind of, I was about to say funny, but it's actually really frustrating, because you probably experienced this too, where it's like you're told that you have to be in this in order to be like marketable or business savvy or whatever, you know, ridiculous thing they want to say.
Down.
Yeah. And then you got to do that and only that all the time. Yes. It's like, but life is so much more and we can do so much more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And luckily with the internet, right? We can take control of our own destiny.
Exactly.
Get into an ASMR type stuff. Oh. Do you ASMR?
I've done a couple things where it's literally, it's all a joke. It's all just completely.
I don't understand it. I really don't, but I respect it because I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the thing on the internet.
Sure.
But once people start getting mason jars and like their nails and like, I'm like, this is making me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. So something that happened to you in 2016.
Yes.
Was very interesting, because every time I have a YouTuber on the Creative Exchange, somehow we always end up talking about the algorithm. Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the time you guys are listening to this, you're probably very aware that YouTube is a unique platform where it shows you what you want to see, supposedly, you know. So maybe you're not getting the videos on your homepage from your subscriptions, but hey, if you watched one Jake Paul video on accident, you're going to get all of his videos on your home screen, right?
Yeah.
The algorithm works in mysterious ways. And there's a lot of things involved with that that could be good, because maybe that's smaller creators that are getting attention, that virality is still possible on YouTube. But there's also a downside.
Oh, there is.
And I have never met someone that has had it so bad as you, you know, like to where it's not just, oh yeah, man, just my videos are kind of going down. It sounded like it was an instantaneous thing that happened. So what happened, Swoop? What happened?
Oh man. Okay. So put it in as much of a nutshell as I can try to, in November of 2016. So this was the Spanky Valentine TV channel. In November of 2016.
Your real name is Spanky, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Which
is
amazing.
Yeah.
Your parents are so creative. Wow.
Yeah. They're crazy. hi mom. Thanks. Okay. So in November of 2016, I uploaded a video, you know, just regular on schedule video, and it was dead instantly. Like it just flatlined immediately. And I've never had anything happen like that before. So I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, like,
so it was worse than flopping.
Oh, it was worse than flopping. Yeah. It was
something wrong.
Not even 0.5% of like my lowest viewership.
Wow.
Like on a video. So I knew, you know, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, this is part of, you know, it's part of my annual usual hero content for that channel. Mm-hmm. Like it should have been just fine. I didn't do something. It's not a weird outlier type of video. Mm-hmm. And so as I started uploading more, you know, mm-hmm. the remainder of the videos for the year, the same thing was happening on every single video. So I realized obviously there was a huge problem, and this was also during a time when like PewDiePie and H3H3 and like some other people were coming out saying like YouTube is dying or is dead, or mm-hmm. you know, there was all this kind of controversy, but they were really just talking about a decline, like an overall decline in viewership, which I think we all knew, like the algorithm was doing things. So fast forward through all of the depression and mm-hmm. all of, you know, all of the emotional stuff that was going on, because I kept uploading, you know, regular schedule, normal stuff that should have performed well. And for the next year and a half, I guess it was just toast. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking myself the question, well, I guess the channel's dead. I have mm-hmm. no idea what happened.
It steadily go up? It just never reached normal, or like
it never went back up.
Yeah.
Like it just was flatlined. I had one video that peaked, just totally randomly. Yeah. And so I don't know if it got like picked up some, I don't right. know if the
what
algorithm
was, what
picked
was the title
it?
Of it?
I'm trying to even remember what that one yeah. was. It was some like stupid hacks video or yeah. something. You know, it was just like a very trending topic that like, but the other stuff that I was doing was also
right.
within the trending
I
stuff.
I love when you know? I make a video, I'm like, yeah. oh my God, this is such a YouTube title. Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Usually those are the ones that flop the
yeah.
worst for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's YouTube.
It's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it.
So there was like one video that peaked, but the rest of them were just obviously something seriously wrong. So
yeah.
through this whole process, I was reaching out to YouTube and the partner managers and the, you know, anyone, that any contact that I'd ever had at Google, and all of the YouTube analytics experts on the platform, mm-hmm. you know, and they, all the people who have the channels analyzing. And I was showing them like, you know, what was going on with the channel, and every single one of them came back saying, I've never seen anything like this. So long story short, I randomly happened to be in the company of someone who actually works on building, one of the engineers who like works on
You're
building
like, you.
This machine.
Come here.
Yeah, literally. I was like, so
yeah.
we need to talk uh-huh. if you don't mind. And, you know, I was very lucky in that moment that this person was like, I'm happy to take a look. So they pulled up their machine and pulled up the channel, and they have all of these tools and diagnostics mm-hmm. and charts and graphs that we don't have access to. And I was basically told, after they went through and literally pinpointed the exact moment, I hadn't shared, you know, much about what was going on. Yeah. I was just like, there's a problem. Could you take a look and let me know your thoughts? And kind of zoomed in on this date and said, oh, so what happened was, it was described to me as an algorithmic anomaly.
Mm. You should have named your new channel Algorithmic Anomaly.
That'll be like my next like band or something.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, that's a great band yeah. name. At least an album.
We'll tour, and then like all of the people in the audience will be like depressed
yes.
YouTubers.
Oh my gosh. You could be our therapy band.
Oh my gosh. It
and
should
you could
be.
Have, you could have puppies on stage yes. and like send them out.
We'll do
to
it
the
in ASMR. It'll be brilliant.
All right, I'm sold.
Yeah,
I'm okay, sold.
Tickets
so
go on sale.
Algorithmic anomaly.
Yes. So they said it was basically the equivalent of being struck by lightning.
That must have made you feel great.
Oh, it was. You know what? It was like, oh man, it was like this kind of almost bittersweet in that it was like
it's kind of closure.
I knew I wasn't crazy,
right?
But at the same time, you're like, oh, all of the bad words, like this sucks, mm-hmm. this blows. Mm-hmm. And so I was told that like basically the channel was instantaneously dropped out of like all home screens, browse, search, like it just was.
which notifications rarely work. So the fact that that when that happens, that's bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's like,
cause that's honestly, I'm sure more subscribers find our stuff through their home screen, through recommended, than even being notified for it. So for the people that don't know, that's a big deal. When you get dropped out of all of those different things,
It's the end of it. Like, it's the end of the line there. And I, you know, that was also, everyone was complaining at that time about, oh, no one's getting notified or the notifications aren't working. But it's like, but that usually only attributes for like 10% of the viewership often. I think that's kind of the average across the board. So it's not even when people are like, oh, notifications, it's like, but that's not really most of the traffic's coming from all these other sources. So I asked them, do I need to start a new channel? Is this dead? Can you do anything? Are you willing to do anything? And basically the answer was, if you want to feel better about yourself, then sure. If you want a boost in morale, I believe was the phrase I was given, then start a new channel because it might be fun. Otherwise, you know, optimize your titles and tags. And it's like, I've been like,
well, and it's like, that's something that you tell a 12-year-old who just started YouTube. That's not something you tell someone who's built a career around YouTube.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. I was so,
Yeah. And so what was, oh my gosh. I mean, what was next? Was that when your second channel started or your third channel?
Yeah.
Like that was the channel after Spanky Valentine TV.
That was basically the final, you know, for the year and a half that I was on this terrible journey with the platform, I was like, do I need to start a new channel? But that's, I mean, imagine, right? Like starting all, I would never wish that on my worst enemy having to start
and
over.
And it's so hard to let go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I actually, okay, so I actually watched one of your recent videos about quitting. And I loved what you said. It was like a quote or something, the time to keep, or, oh gosh. I think I wrote it down wrong, but it was like the time to quit is always before you wish you had or something.
Yeah.
And so is that something that you experience with that? Should you have just jumped ship the moment it happened, you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was so much time sunk into trying to salvage this thing and turn it around when I didn't even understand what was going on. And I think in my heart, I knew that there was just, this was completely beyond my control and there was nothing that was going to save it. But you just hold on. So that's exactly where that came from. So
yeah.
I should have done this a long time ago.
How do people know? How do, you know, it's time to, like Ross from Friends, pivot.
Yeah.
How do people know when it's time to pivot?
I think you just got to listen to that. I think ultimately we know, like we know in our
gut. When it's in your gut.
Yeah, it's that feeling, but we're so good at ignoring that.
Yeah.
And that's where we really get into trouble. But I think we know. And the signs, you know, the signs for me for a year and a half were saying, yo, like, you need to get out of this. So, yeah, it was maybe a month or two later when I started the new channel.
Wow.
There was one final push that I needed just from friends who were like, you know, there was a friend that I was going to collab with, and she's like, well, I'm not going to link your old channel because that thing's dead. So if you want anything linked in a collab, you got to, you know, you got to start a new channel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Swoop was born.
And so Swoop was born. Tell me why Swoop. Who is Swoop? Is that like a nickname you've had forever, or is that something that you created recently?
It was created literally 5 minutes before I launched the new channel. Wow. I had been thinking for so long about what is the name going to be? What is the name? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, somehow I have to use my name in it because that's been the legacy of the other channels. People recognize, you know, anyone who's been subscribed would recognize that name. But I was like, you know what? I don't want to be associated with that at all anymore. Mm-hmm. I just want complete, clean start. And the word Swoop came to me and I was like, well, I know that word means basically, you know, you kind of climb up and you're on a rise, which was kind of, for me, that was building of the previous channel. And then there's the fall, right? And it's basically when you're in that fall, it's to swoop and kind of attack that thing, that new thing that's at the bottom of that mm-hmm. journey that's going to pick you back up.
That's good.
So that was the the message of the name was like just swooping down, attacking and getting exactly what it is you want, and then just rising back up and using that as a place to launch yourself again. And so that's why, I mean, the content is completely different and new and just exactly what I want versus what I was doing on the other channel, which felt, started feeling more like I was doing it to please, you know, a certain audience that wasn't really me ultimately.
With that new channel, with the content that you do make, is there still, like, what would be a video that you would make for your new audience? You know, what would be something? So just context, something I've been saying a lot that I feel like was my epiphany was kind of like, when it comes to YouTube, one for me, one for them. I understand that I have to make those boring phone comparisons. I have to make the boring camera comparisons. And then hopefully the people who subscribe from that are going to come over to a video, like a travel video or something that I had such a blast making, right? So with this new channel, what is kind of the focus and what is kind of that balance? What are you super stoked on?
Yeah.
And then what is kind of like, okay, I know this will probably be favored in the algorithm. You know, because you... I feel like you always kind of have to play that game.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely the ongoing game. I think the stuff that, as far as like the balance side and like pleasing just the overall for me is making, I've been doing like roasts and parodies of the beauty community just because I've been in it for so long. So there's still that association. And, you know, I've done collabs with my friend Mikey from Glam and Gore, and she's the one who like really pushed me to like, you need to start this new thing. So there was a lot of the audience that came over still knows me in the beauty space, but I was like, I never really connected. Like, I don't feel like I fit in because I'm just a little more strange. So I just roast it.
Love it.
So like that stuff, or like I challenged Ryan Higa to a rap battle, you know? So we have like, I'll do moments like that. But the stuff that ultimately is the, what I'm most proud of and what's most special to me would be things like the film that I did for the film for Buffer that I premiered at Buffer Festival, or the film that I made that was the vlog about the trip to Buffer, which is one of the most favorite things that I've put on the channel. It's just very special to me, and it's that whole style, the cinematic vlog style, but there's a story element to it. So just telling stories ultimately is...
So how did you first get into the makeup community? I mean, obviously, you know what you're doing, you know? So I guess that's the first step, right? You look beautiful. If you guys want to see our beautiful faces, go to patreon.com/Sarah Dici to watch the video of this podcast. But if you're just listening with your ear holes, she looks beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
So step one, you know how to do makeup. That's good.
She's telling very good lies right now. I'm just going to put that out there.
Step one, you know makeup. And then was it, okay, it's popular on YouTube, so let's get into this.
No, it wasn't even, it literally again was kind of the way my old channel started, in that I was approached by a major company in the beauty space who wanted me to produce some content for their channels.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, then I literally went out and bought a brand name eyeshadow palette so that I felt like I was, you know, official when I was doing that, producing content for them. And then they started, you know, giving me products and whatnot. Yeah. And that's literally how it started, was just... Can you produce content? I was like, oh, well, this is an interesting space. And, you know, it,
there's money in it.
There's a lot of money in it. And it's not as time intensive as some of the other work that I was doing. So I was like, well, this is something I could like fire off a little quicker to get, you know, more content out.
Yeah. Do you ever, are you ever out there creating one of your cinematic pieces and then you think to yourself, I could have just sat in front of a mirror for 30 minutes, put on makeup instead of doing this?
All the time. When you're thinking about the time and the fact that I'm not sleeping at all.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm always way more satisfied.
It's about the journey. It's about that final product. And exactly.
You know. Yeah, I'll leave the sit down painting the face tutorials to the people who are.
There's so many people who do it.
There's so many people, and they're people who literally that is their life. You know, so
you know, can you give some insight into that community?
Sure.
Because honestly, like, I don't. So I mean, sometimes I poke fun at it, but I don't want to be that person who just makes fun of them, because I know it's it takes. It's a skill. Yes. But I think it's just clouded with all of the, oh my God, you're repping a new brand every week. Mm-hmm. And like, for me, from an outsider, it's confusing, right? It's right, like, yeah. Okay, I mean, what should I buy? Because you're recommending like 10 brands in yeah. one video. I'm yeah. confused.
Yeah.
But recently, you know, I watched Shane Dawson's series on Jeffree Star.
Yes.
And that was kind of the first time that I was like, this is huge.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I didn't quite understand how many people had personal brands.
Yes.
What a beast of an industry it is. Yes. And so like, my biggest question, I'm just going to pick your brain about this.
Yes,
real quick,
please do. Pick away.
This is beauty vlogger, beauty industry. It's so interesting. How do they balance like getting paid 50K, 100K from CoverGirl and then their own brand? Because it's like a lot of these people have their own makeup.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, do those people that have their own makeup, do they not even do videos of other brands? Or like,
oh,
how
no,
does
they
that
totally
work?
I mean, they will do videos of all brands. Yeah. You know, as long as like it, you know, it's a brand that hopefully, ideally, it's a brand that they like the product.
Right.
And they're not just taking the check. But obviously that happens quite a lot
yeah.
As well. But a lot of the influencers who have their own brands, there's still the need for them to wear other products and showcase other products. They probably won't do it in their promotional content for their, you know, for the launch mm-hmm. for whatever their line is. But because we don't wear one single thing on our skin,
I guess you can diversify with like eyeliner, yes, eyeshadow,
yeah.
mascara,
yeah,
okay,
exactly.
foundation. Gotcha.
Exactly. And a lot of influencers will just, you know, they'll do like a short collab with a brand. So it's like a lipstick line that's going to be out for like a couple months or mm-hmm. something. And then they'll move on to an eyeliner. And it's not often that they're doing full product lines like Jeffree Star. He's very much, you know, this outlier in that
crazy,
sense, like this
it?
Beast mode of like
yeah.
just a whole nother.
I was so inspired.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I don't really care about makeup, but oh my gosh,
yeah,
all no. the things that he was.
Yeah. Just, the enterprise that yeah. is that is mm-hmm. just remarkable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, beauty influencers like the paycheck. They, mm-hmm. you know, they like those endorsements and spawns. Mm-hmm. What is
SponCon?
There it is. I was like,
hashtag SponCon.
and you know, some of it's genuine, some of it's not.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably common to, you know, any industry.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, we don't have to talk about this. We don't get in the drama. But recently yeah. there was a lot of drama.
Yes.
In the beauty sphere.
So much
and
drama.
The most interesting part of it that I kind of like went down the rabbit hole.
It's even interesting that you like know about the drama.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you're not, you know, an like avid like beauty fan or follower.
So I'm on Twitter. I feel like if you follow enough people on Twitter,
then
you're going to get it. everyone sign up for Twitter. It's a great place.
That's amazing.
Political drama, YouTube drama. very depressed person because of Twitter. Anyways, when they were talking about how someone leaked an email or something about a company paying an influencer like 75K mm-hmm. to do a negative review.
Is that popular?
Explain what that would look like, and is that popular among
it
the
happens
industry?
A lot. I'm not gonna lie, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
People paying, brands paying for negative and positive, of course, which then obviously throws into question the entire community is like, who's genuine? And like, when you're recommending a product, is this even real? Were you paid to say bad things, paid to say good things, you know? But I mean, as far as what would that look like, it would literally just be whether I've known that there've been companies do that against competitors. So mm-hmm. if they're like, can you do a negative review of our competitor's product that's going to be launching at the same time as our very similar product?
Wow.
So, you know, there's, I don't want to like crap on the whole community
because
there's some amazing,
yes.
you know, there's some amazing people and creators out there, but there's a lot of shade. There's a lot of shade and a lot of just negative, bad
yeah.
stuff
and,
going
and
on.
And that also comes back to a lot of people watch those videos just like maybe they'd come to one of my videos for a camera review or mm-hmm. something. I mean, they really trust the opinions yes. of these people and yeah. base their choices of what they're going right. to buy directly from feedback.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, okay, maybe it's not illegal to pay for that, but is it moral? Is yeah. it ethically right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when it comes to disclosure and stuff, right. I think, you know, when it comes to YouTube videos, the FTC or whatever they're called, you know, you have to be very blatant of
right.
this video is sponsored by Intel. This video is sponsored by Squarespace or whatever.
Right.
And so with those negative reviews, you obviously can't disclose it.
Right.
So yeah, that's no, a just, that's a whole nother level of, oh, that actually might be illegal.
I think that then. Actually is illegal. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's twisted.
It's really it fascinating. Yeah. But moving on from the beauty bloggers.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's end this little section with
yeah.
who's out there that's doing it right? Who should people go look up if my 20% of the audience is women or men if you're into makeup, who should they check out?
Oh, I'm trying to
see. She's having a hard time finding the good ones.
Yeah, no, it's you know, well, I'm trying to.
It's difficult.
I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of, why am I just totally blanking on her name? There's this one girl. Well, I think Nabella Noor is okay. an excellent one. Not just because she does a lot of beauty work. Mm-hmm. She's also a woman of color, which I think mm-hmm. is really important in the beauty space, especially because there just has been such a lack of representation. Mm-hmm. And she focuses a lot of her messaging on social issues. So I feel like when you can find someone who's giving you not just like the exterior beauty, but mm-hmm. also talking about
that.
Life and it goes beyond that, yeah. I really, really appreciate
That's cool.
Content like that.
That's cool. Where'd you grow up?
All over the place, girl.
Yeah?
Yeah. Bounced around a lot.
So,
I mean, like Nashville was part of it. I was in yeah. Orange County. I'm in Los Angeles. There was, you know.
I love it. So why that? Like, since you were a kid, were your parents hopping around for jobs?
Yeah,
or?
We're just, it was a lot of moving around.
Yeah. So where did you start your journey as a little creative swoop?
I think Nashville, like yeah. musically, had a huge impact on me mm-hmm. and just kind of, you know, experiencing the jazz scene and like the underground and just running around. And then LA, you know, there's so much opportunity to just cut your teeth in LA as a musician. Mm-hmm. And it's brutal, and it is the worst place to try to launch music from.
That's interesting. Why is that?
I mean, it's horrible.
Just because it's so saturated?
It's so saturated, and so often people who go to shows, it's very classic LA for people to go to a concert and talk through the entire thing.
Hmm.
They bought tickets for it, and they're interested in the band, yeah. but
there's Instagram story. It,
yeah,
not really
there's just,
there.
Not that like you can't talk through a show, but there's just a level of we appreciate you, but we're not going to show too much appreciation.
That's they're smug. Those LA people, you LA people.
And I think also just because it's so saturated,
yeah.
like the worst side of it that I think is that so many bands are willing to pay venues to play, which then completely annihilates the opportunity for you to make money unless you're, you know, you have major representation or you've
right.
got a huge audience that you've built on your own.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, it's pay to play. It's such a thing, and it ruins. It's like, you know, if you were to relate it to YouTube and the influencers mm-hmm. who just take products for free
right.
And don't charge anything to do, you know, content.
That's true.
Therefore, all of these brands think,
it
well, we don't need to pay anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it works against all of us.
Exactly.
So it's the same in the LA world.
I did not
world
know
of
that.
Music.
So is that because certain venues that seems like, oh, they're playing at the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They must be
yeah,
a good
it's
band.
Definitely,
so it's yeah. tied to that?
That has a lot to do with it, being able to name drop the venue. Because I think the average person doesn't know that band paid to be there.
Right.
And I mean, the average person doesn't know that most openers on tours are paying the, you know, the label that is the headliner to be there.
Really?
To be on that tour. That's very commonly
done.
Oh,
that is fascinating.
Yeah.
Dropping bombs over here. The creative exchange swoop. Wow. Exposing
you know
the
how
music
we do, girl.
Industry.
You know how we do.
That is so fascinating. And so I see it. then I could understand why, because me from the outside, I'm like, why are record labels still so relevant?
Sure.
I don't get it, you know?
Are they relevant though?
But I guess they have money. So they, I guess yeah. that's why they have the capital.
Yeah, they have the capital.
Build that relationship between yeah. whether it's studios, whether it's venues.
Yeah, and distribution is the huge distribution. Thing as well for labels.
So what is your strategy as an artist, as a musician? Because there was a lot of pushback in the beginning with streaming, right?
Yes.
Because buy on iTunes, buy it. It's like it goes back to just digital products. You're going to make a ton of money if you're selling digital products.
Right.
But now with streaming, obviously you're not getting as much as if you would sell on iTunes.
Sure.
But is there something that, like any, I think there's positive things streaming, right?
Yeah.
But like, how has your strategy changed as music has changed?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was
Push people to Spotify?
I push people to YouTube. Is
interesting.
Is honestly the main thing for me, because they're I mean, number one, like YouTube is the number one search platform for music videos and for music content, so it only makes sense to have the audience go there, and then they're going to be able to see the music video, which so often can just bond them even more to the music and to the entire project and get them excited about launches. And then from there, mm-hmm. you push them, you know, to the iTunes or to, you know, the streaming and whatnot. For a long time, I was very, I wasn't feeling great about the streaming when you realize that the artists were just getting screwed as far as making any kind of money at all. But you have to change with the times ultimately, at least to an extent. But I think ultimately YouTube is still the best platform for all of it.
For the musicians out there, if they hear that, but they might be like, oh, I'm only on Spotify, how do I even begin to start on YouTube? What's some advice you give to musicians that maybe aren't filmmakers?
Sure.
You know, how can they break into that scene? And
I mean, you can be as basic as just putting the single artwork or the album artwork, you know, on a video, and it's just a static image and the audio plays, mm-hmm. you know, and then you have the title of the song and your band, you know, included. And then that's something that you're sending out, and, you know, whether you're doing like old school email blasts or, mm-hmm. you know, your social media blasts and pointing them there. The other thing about that is, like, you know, you're also collecting views, you know, the YouTube views and all of that stuff, all of it combined. I mean, we really have to be doing all of it, right? Mm-hmm. And all of it combined is going to, you know, collectively now it's all seen under the umbrella of, if you want to win like a Billboard Music Award or something, like streaming and YouTube streams are going to be a factor in that. So it's all, and people are going to search for you on YouTube. So you might as well just throw up your album there if you don't mind people listening to it, and exactly. then just monetize the video, and you'll oftentimes get more money in those rare instances where ad revenue like benefits you. You'll get more money from the ad rev than you're going to get on Spotify. Mm.
Have to diversify.
Yes.
So when I can imagine when, you know, the YouTube channel kind of flopped, right? I guess you did have those other things, right?
Because girl, we were literally finishing an EP. We had we had six music videos shot.
Oh, so you're ready to launch. And I'm sure that 2017, that was the center of everything.
Yeah, 2017 was going to be the launch year for all of the music videos and all of that music, hopefully tailing with a tour. And all of that got shut down, basically. Mm-hmm. I had to put a pin in all of that. And I'm still on hold with that content while I've been building up Swoop to hopefully have an audience that I feel like, you know, will get the content. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean.
And people say, I'm sure you've got, why would you come back if you got so burned, right? And as much as we complain about YouTube, it's not like there's an alternative.
Right.
There really isn't. What, you're going to start a new Twitter to post video? Yeah. Or like, you know, it's so crazy out there because people in. I mean, that's a topic that comes up a lot with this podcast too, is not just asking YouTubers, but also just business women and men. How do you diversify? How do you get those different streams? And I think this is something that I'm trying to work on. Even when times are good, that's when you build into other things, right?
Yeah,
like when my YouTube channel is fine, it's good. Maybe that's why I'm kind of exploring Patreon. I don't know if it's going to be a thing. However, I'm like, okay, if my YouTube channel disappeared, you know, yesterday, would I be completely screwed?
Right.
And I think that's something that you have to continually ask yourself.
Absolutely.
And when times are good, that's when you do.
Yes.
You know, the diversification. But it's so hard because who would even think that something like that would ever happen to anyone?
I certainly did not. I certainly did not. And I think that, you know, I posted a whole video about it. And there were a lot of creators that reached out to me. And I guess the video got shared in like quite a lot of different creator communities as like, oh, like this can happen. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, like I can't.
But thank goodness we had you as a lesson.
You're welcome. Anything to do to help.
Exactly. But it's a very important thing to, because it's so hard, right? It's so hard when, especially when things are going good, how do you focus on other stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
And have you, like traditionally when you're doing music or video, have you taken the steps to hire people, or do you collaborate with people on a scale of like, hey, help me with this video? Or, 'cause that's something I'm going through right now. I need to hire help, and it's so hard.
It is so hard.
It's so hard.
It is probably the, I think it's so, it's like, it's so difficult that it keeps me from moving forward often, especially like on the editing side. Like the edit, like I desperately need an editor, but I need an editor that I feel like they need to be a lot better than me. And because I've been doing,
they need to push you.
They need to push me. Yeah. And have like a nice, like a new unique perspective that's going to like vibe with all of it. And I'm so like, I've been editing for so long and I've cut so many different projects and films that it's like, okay, if I find someone who's better than me, they're gonna cost a lot of money. And it's like, okay, well, do I have that money? No, because I need to like, you know, buy all these other gear, like all this other stuff.
And then like just, you have to go into, oh, but is it worth to invest?
Right,
You know, are you looking at the long haul? And I think that's a good message to all of the creative peeps out there too, is even, you know, YouTube is a very saturated place. Being an online creator, an independent creator is very difficult. Being a YouTuber is very difficult. But there's already so many people out there already doing it that need that solid number two person.
Yeah.
Where it's like, maybe you could be the best number two to a like rock star YouTuber. And that's going to take you to heights that you would never imagine.
Absolutely.
You know? And so I think that's a big white space right now.
Shoot, maybe I need to be your number two, girl. Where do I sign up? Okay. Like, give me a little sheet. I will put my name. I'll give you my references.
No, man, all of you peeps out there, just start tweeting at YouTubers. Hey, do you need help with this? Help with this?
And we do.
Because build your skills around maybe what you're seeing out there, and see if you can first emulate another person's style, but then that's when you can start getting unique with your own stuff. Because if you don't know where to start, I do think just seeing what other people are doing and copying it is, it'll get you to a certain point. I mean, don't start a channel and post the stuff where you're just copying someone. That's lame. But I think it helps get you to a point where then you can develop your own style.
Absolutely.
And yeah, there's so many good inspirations out there, and so many good people that, you know, we watch. And so who inspires you in the photo, video, film realm? It could be YouTubers, it could be a director.
Yeah,
no, do you watch movies? Do you watch like movies in the theaters?
In the theaters, it's sometimes.
I have found myself, I'm just like, I can't get away from Netflix and YouTube.
Yeah, no,
I don't
like
remember
stuck.
The last time I watched a movie.
Yeah, no, I'm set. Well, if it's a movie, it's on Netflix probably, right?
Exactly.
But like the last time I've been in a theater, like who knows? Well, I guess we were at Buffer Festival. That was a theater.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Watching YouTube
videos. Watching YouTubers.
Yeah, so who inspires you? Who are you watching?
I mean, I'm an avid watcher of Casey Neistat. Is, you know, his style. I think, you know, obviously the work that he's done with his films and with his films that are vlogs has been groundbreaking. So he's a huge one. I'm a big fan of Dario Argento and like the color in his films, which most people have no idea like who I'm even talking about.
What has he done?
Like Suspiria is like one of my favorite films. It's just like
I'll put
the
some
most,
links in the show notes.
Yeah,
below.
Vibrant, rich, bizarre,
cool
films. I love horror films. If I'm going to watch a movie, it's probably going to be horror.
That's interesting.
I'm like, it's
I
my
hate horror.
Oh, do you?
I don't like it at all. I don't like to be scared. It's the same reason why I don't like hot sauce, really hot hot sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this isn't enjoyable for me.
You're like,
enjoyable.
I'm comfortable as I am.
Exactly. I don't want to go out of my way to be in pain.
I can see that. I can totally see that.
Yeah. But in terms of art and film, some of the coolest cinematography actually is horror.
They often have like the most unique angles, mm-hmm. and just like takes on a story, mm-hmm. and it's like, I don't know, it's, for me it's like my lullaby, like I'll just fall asleep, they caress me to sleep.
That's insane. You're insane. Yeah, same. I've been watching a lot of, do you watch Yoon Olsen?
No,
he's a vlogger.
Okay.
But he lives in Marbella in Monaco, in
okay,
Spain and France, I think. But it's basically like a rich person vlog. I mean, it's just him with his beautiful wife, like,
yeah,
going to crazy exotic places. What's so cool about it is, you know, he's an entrepreneur, he has a ton of businesses, so you see the business side of things, and then you see like what that's tied to, and it's actually pretty motivational. I mean, recently his vlogs have turned into just yacht shopping, which is how that has become like peak unrelatable, right? So I've taken a break, but his
I'm like, that's either gonna make you feel really inspired or really awful about yourself.
Exactly.
Yacht shopping.
Exactly. So sometimes it gets a little ridiculous, yeah. But he's really good because he has that number two person that basically shoots and edits almost everything for him. And it really takes his stuff to the next level.
Oh, absolutely. I can imagine.
Yeah. So your Buffer Festival video.
Yes.
It touched a little bit on just anxiety and you know, maybe we can talk about this, but I feel like being in the public face, you're interacting with thousands of fans, online.
Yes.
I still think this is a very new thing. I mean, we've had classic celebrities, but they're not necessarily interacting with people like we are, right?
Yeah,
it's this personal relationship that we have with our audience that I think puts a lot of pressure on us.
Yes.
And, you know, in the Buffer Festival video, you talked about just anxiety and the feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, so in your journey, when was that the heaviest? When did you feel that the most?
Yeah. I mean, that film happened in September. Did it in September, and it was because of, so in the film, there was that segment where I had filmed myself going through an anxiety attack. And that was the first time I've ever done that. And I sat down and I did it because I've experienced so many of those, but it was getting really bad. I was in a very, very dark place at that time. And it's funny, at that time, that was only a month ago. But I told myself, I was like, I'm going to film this so that when I have a moment where I'm in my like rational mind, I can watch this back and see how irrational I'm being and the things that I'm saying, how out of touch with reality they are. And see if that helps me, because nothing else had really helped me be able to push past something like that. So I wasn't even intending on making that a film. But after I watched it and just kind of sat with it for a while, I realized things were so dark. It was such a bad week for me, and it was just continuing. Normally it would be like a few moments in a day, but that was just felt endless. And I was like, well, I have to create something. I can't just not post or, you know, not have something created. So I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to make something out of this, because my heart, my brain really literally can't do anything else right now. And so that's where the film came from. But what people don't know is that anxiety attack that I was having was literally because of a video that I had posted on my channel performing much under than what my mind was hoping it would. And I think because I almost feel like I have a bit of like a work related PTSD with the former channel.
Yeah.
And I have such an ongoing fear of that happening again, that every time I post, I get like really stressed out about, is anyone going to see it? How is it going to do? Is this going to be the end of my channel today? And so I was just going through that moment when I filmed that. And so, yeah, it's this platform and being a content creator can be a very, very dark place. I mean, let's just be honest.
No,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it can get, the pressure is intense. And I don't know that people fully understand that. I don't even know that creators fully understand that and often understand what they're going through. Because I think that's something that's pretty common in this space, that they don't even realize, you know, all of those feelings and that panic and that anxiety or that depression is like, it's from this pressure and from what we're doing every single day.
You've been through the ringer with that stuff and probably to more of an intense point than other people. So do you have anything that you would say, like, did that help you to have the context of seeing yourself in that moment?
Or, yeah.
I mean, how can people, because I'm sure no matter what your numbers are, people go through the same thing on different levels, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm not good enough. Yes. Why aren't people liking me? And with every post, or maybe it's even in real life, you're just a high school kid and you're wondering, like, am I not good enough for my friends? Why aren't they talking to me?
Right.
But I think with creating something, you're really putting yourself out there, right? And so there's that extra level. So since you've been through like those intense moments, do you have anything, like any advice or?
Yeah. You know, I think just the overall message of the film was that it's okay to not be okay. I think what ultimately wound up being the hardest thing for me when I would go through those moments and that darkness was the people around me. There were only literally like 2-3 people in my life who even knew that I deal with that. And they would always say, everything's going to be fine. You're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Like, this is, you know, you're being ridiculous or irrational right now. You're going to be okay. It's like no big deal. And I know that their intentions were always right, that they always are, you know, they're saying those things out of love and trying to comfort me, but that would often leave me feeling more pressure that if they're saying, well, everything's going to be okay, it's like, well, who's going to make it okay? I have to make it okay.
Because it all falls on you.
Yeah. So if I have to make it okay, then I'm not allowed, like, I can't feel this way and this is ridiculous. And then you beat yourself up for even feeling that way and then you shut it off. And then you keep, you know, creating something else, and then it just compounds and it builds on itself. And so when I reached that kind of breaking point, I realized that, you know what, I'm just not okay. And I need that to be okay. And
you need to move through it.
Yeah.
Not just skip over it.
Yeah.
Right?
I just have to be in this right now. And I've never really allowed myself to be in it. And so I think that was the biggest learning point for me, and ultimately why I created the film, was I just wanted other people to know that, like, nobody can really guarantee that everything's going to be okay.
Right.
Those are just words that people say to you. I think eventually we do get through it, but it's okay to just not be okay sometimes.
And it almost helps just hearing that for the people around you to maybe just validate it and just say that they're there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And I think that's a big part of that, because when you are reaching out to people who aren't YouTubers, who aren't maybe a CEO, like those, I mean, a YouTuber, a CEO, an entrepreneur of any kind, you're alone. If you're at the top and you're running your own ish, you don't have anyone to turn to because it's your responsibility.
Absolutely.
So you have those same feelings.
Absolutely.
And it almost always is better if you're venting to someone and they're just like, yeah, I hear you.
Yes.
I hear you. I'm
they're
here
just
for
listening.
You.
And
yeah. And it's, I think, really easy for someone who maybe just like has a normal job. Like, it's okay. You're fine.
Right. Yeah.
You're fine. And also, I think, is this imposter syndrome when you feel like, I think I'm actually just saying things. Basically, what is it called when you don't think you're problems are valid because there's other bad things happening? Isn't there a word for that?
There probably is.
There
a
probably
word for
is.
That.
But that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
So you get in your head and say, oh, this is stupid. My feelings aren't valid because there's someone starving. You
right.
know? But at the same time, it's like, I think that's even more unhealthy because you don't go through it, right?
Yeah,
you're just kind of like, you shove it under.
Absolutely.
And then it explodes.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, those were what you just said was literally some of the stuff that I was saying in that anxiety attack. I was like, people have worse problems. Mm-hmm. My life isn't that bad. Like, I shouldn't be complaining about anything. I shouldn't be feeling mm-hmm. this way. But that's just us invalidating what's going on. And ultimately right. what's going on inside of you is extremely important because right. your mental health is ultimately the only mm-hmm. thing that will sustain you mm-hmm. in this life.
And with social media and stuff, it's like,
yes,
you know, us people who are on the Instagram and Twitter and YouTube 24/7.
Yes.
I'm sure we have more messed up mental health things than a right. lot of people who maybe aren't on social media.
Yeah, no, I mean, when your happiness is tied to feeling like, oh, I got a certain amount of views I face tuned that photo just right, you know, and it's like there's no reality around it.
Right.
But then you get caught in this, you know, trap of thinking that the numbers define you,
right.
which they don't. The quality of work defines you. Mm-hmm. The message defines you. But we get, or at least I can get lost, you know, in that and well, if it didn't get a certain viewership, then they must not have clicked because somehow they knew without seeing it that the quality isn't what they're going to, you know, and it's like, you just get ridiculous right. with it. It's like, yeah. well,
so you got to find what works for you
yeah.
and you got to maybe a mixture of it. Like even when I feel myself going down that route, it just helps to make like speaking out loud, like gratitude and being thankful for everything and just putting my, like almost forcing my mind into a positive set. Mm, and then I'll like talk to John, my boyfriend, who's also a YouTuber and like get into it with him and like, but just not allow that to continue throughout, like, because it's easy to complain to everyone.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so like having those key people in your life who can just listen are mm-hmm. so important.
Yeah.
And then kind of once you go through it, just okay, step back. Like, okay, things are good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, let's work on X, Y, Z. But the fact that I'm just a human right now and I have these opportunities, that's crazy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move forward.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It's a lot, move forward in your time.
Exactly.
I mean, I think I cried for 3 weeks straight during that period. I didn't even know why anymore. Mm. It was just nonstop. And then I was also making the film at that point. So then I'm like living it every day, even looking at it on screen. But
well, I think artists, creators, that's what we have to do, right? Yeah. We got to create with what we're going through and feelings, and that's what makes it relatable, and that's what helps people.
Yeah.
So now that we've been like, being a creator is the worst. Any advice for people who want to create for a living? Stay away.
Run as fast as you can. Yeah. Find something. Anything else.
Let's wrap it up on a positive note.
Yeah.
Here. You know, like, I mean, you're here in New York.
Yes.
You know, you got to play music.
Yes.
At Javits Center, which is huge.
Yes.
I mean, that's fun.
Yes.
We're here hanging out.
Yes.
This is fun.
Yes.
You know,
this is the pivotal moment of the New York
trip.
That's
what I like to hear. Yes. The creative exchange. But yeah, any advice for people out there who are maybe in that same spot, but they're just beginning, right? So it can suck when maybe you're going through the, am I worthy when no one's watching.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there's a few things. When no one's watching, that's the best time to experiment.
Totally.
And to find your
voice.
Big believer
in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Once you find your voice, and it might not happen overnight. Mm-hmm. Also remember that it could be a process. Some of us, it takes years.
I would say it's always a process.
It is always a process for sure. But like, you know, this is the time to experiment. This is the time to have fun with it. This is the time to take risks. This is, you know, you don't have to play the games on the platform yet. And hopefully you can avoid a lot of that. But, you know, the whole balance thing that we talked about earlier.
I always say quality over quantity in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because you need to develop that backlog of stuff that people can come and watch when your moment comes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the moment comes, just don't build it up in your brain to look a very specific way, because it will never look like what you think it should. Mm-hmm. And it might completely go beyond your expectations. It might be subtle. The moment might last several years. Mm-hmm. And then you look back and realize, oh, my moment has been going this slow path. And that's perfectly fine. We all have a different journey with it. But be consistent. I don't really think it necessarily matters the gear that you have in your hand. Just tell a story, whatever mm-hmm. your story is. watch a lot of content to learn from. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying earlier, you know, experiment by quote copying, but you know, mm-hmm. within your own vein to just, you know, get a feel for what really speaks to you as a creator. Watch content off of YouTube as well. There's mm-hmm. a lot to learn from other platforms. And build a team of people who understand this. And team meaning just have friends in this space who get it, that you can talk to as well.
It's very helpful.
Yeah.
Because I started off, your mom won't understand the YouTube life. Like, yeah. That's something, I mean, maybe sometimes those people can bring good advice from the outside, and yes. sometimes that's good.
Yeah.
But when you're going through those lows,
yes.
the whole, you'll be fine. That's yeah. not the most helpful thing.
Right.
Sometimes it helps to really just like sit down with someone who knows the struggle yes. and just kind of shell it out
yeah.
and have someone listen.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to bounce ideas off of them. Test your thumbnails, test, mm-hmm. you know, anything. And if you're a vlogger, it's way more comfortable just like whipping out a camera and vlogging when you're with a friend mm-hmm. who also, you know, gets that space. Yeah. And that will make the process a lot easier, I think, mm-hmm. having friends who understand this world, even if it's online and you're not in person friends.
That's what's great about the internet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Go find some internet friends out yeah. there.
There's a lot of them.
That's amazing. Well, heck yeah. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
What should people go check out there?
Swoop. They just should just swoop. Go to YouTube
go and to check the out Swoop. Linked in the description below the show notes. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
And again, guys, if you want these podcast episodes a week early and the video version, go to patreon.com/Sarah Dietschy. It's like a big creative party over there. It's like a secret club. We have a secret Discord channel and stuff. So it's a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, girl.
And this was great. We got into a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Until next Monday, stay peachy, keep creating, be awesome, go make some videos.